Let us open our Bibles to the Gospel of Luke. Luke chapter 5, verse 17 to 26. I'm reading from the New International Version of the Bible. One day Jesus was teaching, and Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. They had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea and Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. When they could not find a way to do this because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd, right in front of Jesus. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Immediately he stood up in front of them and took what he had been lying on and went home praising God. Everyone was amazed and gave praise to God. They were filled with awe and said, "We have seen remarkable things today." May God bless the reading from the gospel. Please take your seats. Morning once again. And we continue with our series, Who's Your One? Last week, we talked about praying for your one. And that testimony was one of the many wonderful stories that a lot of people are with us today. Perhaps you are here today because somebody was praying for you. Either you know that someone was praying for you, or perhaps we don't know. But as we have learned from our lesson last week, the very first step to bringing a person to Jesus Christ is to pray for them. So I hope that we continue to pray for our one. Pray for someone. If there's a member of your family who is still lost, remember Jesus came to seek and to save the lost. If you still have friends, if you still have relatives who are not yet born-again believers, they are the subject of your prayers. Amen? So this campaign is about each one, reach one, each month. All right? Each month. So our goal is at least we have one person to focus on praying for that person, caring for that person, bringing that person to Christ. All right? Leaving the result, of course, to God. So last week, we started with pray for your one. Today, we focus on caring. Care for your one. That's our lesson today. All right? So after we pray, we continue to pray, the next step in our strategy to bring our one is to care for them. Right? To show them, to demonstrate to them the love of Christ. You know, if you have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, then that love emanates from within. Because that love comes from our relationship with Christ. We are to show, we are to demonstrate that care for somebody else. Now, our lesson today is a very familiar story in the Bible. In fact, growing up in Sunday school, we love to hear stories like this, miraculous stories of Jesus. So this is the story about four men carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and opening the roof so that they could lower the man from the roof so that the man can be with Jesus. So we love this story. And the basic theme of this story, of this passage, is basically that Jesus Christ has the power and authority not only to heal the sick, but to forgive sins. All right? That's the main focus of this gospel story. And when this miracle happened, you know, there were the Pharisees and teachers of the law. They were mumbling. They were complaining why Jesus declares that he forgives the man's sin. But again, here, Jesus is trying to show his authority as the Son of Man. And by the way, in the Gospel of Luke, this is the very first instance in which Luke uses the phrase Son of Man. All right? When Jesus declared that even the Son of Man has the authority to forgive sins. And Son of Man is a title, a messianic title, a direct title that Christ was claiming to be the Messiah of the Jews. Now, even though the theme here is about Christ's authority to forgive, but we could see in the story that collaterally to this theme are the four people, you know, their friendship, their care towards another person, all right? So let's look at the background of the healing of this paralyzed man, not only receiving the healing, but receiving forgiveness from our Lord Jesus Christ. So he wasn't just walking, but now he is walking in the Lord towards heaven because he has been forgiven of his sins. Now let's go back to verse 17. One day Jesus was teaching and the Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there. Now take note, he was teaching. Okay, the Greek word here is didasko. That's why we have camp didasko in Argao. That's basically the reason why Christ came. We have to understand, brethren, that healing was not the primary purpose why Christ came here on earth. You know, healing was just on the side. But the main reason why he came was to teach the truth. Amen? To teach the truth because he is the truth. And somehow, while people were listening to him, they were bringing their sick relatives, friends. And of course, God is also the healer, not only the healer of our bodies, but the healer of our souls, cared for all of these people. But he was there primarily to teach. So Jesus was there teaching, and as usual, the Pharisees were there. You know, they were the mortal enemies of Christ. They were there not to marvel at the truth of Christ, but they were there to be what? To be what? Critics. They were just looking for ways, you know, to make accusations of Christ. So we are told that they were coming from different areas as far as Jerusalem, and they're here to listen, to find ways and faults of Christ. So they have come from every village of Galilee, from Judea and Jerusalem. Now, by the way, brethren, this miracle, this story is also found in the other synoptic gospels. You find this in Matthew chapter 9, verse 1 to 8, and also in Mark chapter 2, verse 1 to 12. Luke did not bother to tell us where this took place, but Matthew and Mark tells us the particular place where this miracle took place. It is in Capernaum, all right? In Capernaum. And we are told that Capernaum is the place where Jesus Christ would usually have his hub of ministry, all right? And we are told by Luke that the power of the Lord was with Jesus to heal the sick. Now, the power of the Lord was with Jesus. That tells us, brethren, that when Christ was doing his teaching and ministry, he was always under the power of the Holy Spirit. Yes, he was a man. He became a man. He was a perfect, normal human being. But he needed the power from on high to do miracles. Remember, when Jesus Christ was clothed with humanity, his divinity was veiled. He was just a normal human being. He would get hungry, he would get thirsty, he would get tired, he needs sleep. But here, Luke tells us that there was a supernatural power that comes from heaven that was working with Jesus so that he could perform those miracles. Because he was just a normal human being when he was walking here. Now, let's borrow from Mark chapter 2, verse 2. In order for us to understand that this was in a house and there was so many people gathering. Look at Mark 2, verse 2. They gathered in such large numbers that there was no room left, not even outside the door. And he preached the word there. Now, by the way, this place was filled. And you might wonder, where is this? This was in a house, all right? This was in a particular house in Capernaum. Again, Capernaum is in Galilee. And tradition tells us that this particular house where Jesus was teaching was the house of Peter. All right? And those of you who will be going to the Holy Land, this is one of your stops. All right? This is the particular place, all right, where the house of Peter, according to tradition, you know, stood. And what you see there, that's a church, that's a chapel that the Catholic Church built, all right? But the ruins there, that is the house, all right? So this is in Capernaum, and this is where, according to tradition, Jesus was teaching. This is where Jesus would usually teach. This was his place of ministry. Also, this is where Jesus also would sleep when he is in Capernaum. All right? It became the hub of the ministry and the teaching, the miracles of Christ. So this was in the house of Peter. And again, according to Luke, according to Mark rather, it was filled. So many people were gathering. So many religious leaders were there as far as from Jerusalem. They went going north just to be with Jesus, to listen. And of course, not all these people were there, you know, who were there were really trying to listen. Some of them were simply just marites, you know. You know, they just want to see miracles. They were just excited. They were just curious. Some of them were marites. Some of them were just there for the snacks, you know. They were just, you know, they were just waiting for what Jesus would do. What's the menu for Jesus' teaching today? But there were others who were really determined to listen to the word of God. Amen? Now, notice what Mark tells us. He was in this house and he preached the word to them. He was teaching and he was preaching. Now, I want us to notice this word because the word preach in Greek has two. There are two Greek words, keruso and laleo. All right? Keruso is to proclaim, to make a public announcement. So this is the formal preaching, like what I'm doing right now. I'm doing right now a keruso. I have a pulpit here, I have a microphone, and this is the house of God, and this is a formal worship gathering. I'm preaching, you're listening. But that is not the word that the gospel used, particularly Mark used, to describe what Jesus was saying. Mark was using the word laleo. And laleo is a simple conversation. He was just talking. All right? It's the word for normal talking. You're talking to a friend. You're talking to someone. So when you're talking, you don't need a podium. You don't need a microphone, right? So what we find here is that when Jesus was preaching the gospel, it was not in a formal gathering. It was just a simple talk, all right? That tells us, brethren, that when we share the gospel, you don't have to be in a formal gathering. Sharing the gospel can happen in informal talks, like you're in the shop, you are in the coffee shop, you're at home, you know, or maybe you're in a bus or in a plane while waiting. You can simply have a laleo, amen? You can simply start conversing, you know, normal conversation. That's what Jesus did. That's the word used there, laleo. It was just a simple and informal conversation. Now here, I want us to focus on the four people that came to Christ. How to care for your one. From what these four men did to their friend, we find three lessons. There are so many lessons, but I just focus on three important lessons that we can draw from this narrative, all right? Now, let's look at verse 18. Some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat and tried to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. Now, according to Mark's gospel, there were actually four men. All right? So Luke did not tell us how many, some men, but Mark gives us the exact number. There were four men carrying this paralyzed man. And what was their goal? Why were they there? Were they part of the Marites? Were they just curious? No. They have a purpose. They had a specific mission why they were there in that house, even though the house was so crowded, to take him into the house to lay him before Jesus. All right? So here I want you to notice something. This is a very good biblical example of four people bringing their one. So pwede din na pastor nga mag-join me, for me kabuok kunya usara mong one. Yes. You know, it could be you have your team, you have your group, you have your B group, and you're just focusing on one person. Perhaps you focus on one person, perhaps because this person, you know, it's so hard to convince this person about the gospel. It's so hard to bring these people to church, to a Bible study. And so, you try to work together. Well, that's biblical. See? These four men brought this paralyzed man. Now, we don't know exactly the relationship, whether they were relatives, they were neighbors. Let's just say that they were friends. Okay? They were friends, and they care enough for this paralyzed man. Of course, this paralyzed man could not go to Jesus by himself. And so, these four offered to care. So, to take him to the house, to lay him before the Lord. This is where we find an amazing story of love and care that you can truly offer to a person in need. All right? A Christian cares for others. Right? That's one manifestation that you are truly a born-again believer. You have a genuine, real, not fake, not just a superficial care, but a real care that people may come to Christ. All right? And that's where we take our first lesson from this narrative. We must bring our friends to Jesus. All right? We must bring our friends to Jesus. That's what they did. The paralyzed man in the story is desperately in need of Christ. Perhaps they already knew that Jesus was capable of healing. Perhaps there were already others who got healed. Blind men can see. Lepers who were cleansed. And so the news of Christ preaching and healing was spreading all over, that people coming from Judea, even as far as Jerusalem, they are now in Galilee. Now we have to understand, brethren, the people in Jerusalem, they look down on Galileans. See? Because the Galileans, this is on the northern part of Israel, the Galileans, they were mixing with, you know, Gentiles. There are so many Gentiles there. And so the people there, down there in Jerusalem, at the center, they were looking down, they were treating this Galileans as half-breeds. But take note, in this particular day, these religious leaders were there as far as Jerusalem. So they were there. And we find that these four men tried to bring their friends. Friends, we don't know what happened to this man. We were not given a backstory why this man got paralyzed. But what we know is this: the man is desperate for healing. But because of his sickness, because of his condition, he could not walk, he could not bring himself there. Somebody has to bring him there to the Lord. Friends, this is something like what happened to Andrew. All right? You know what Andrew did when Andrew met the Lord? Notice John chapter 1, verse 40. Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, was one of the two who heard what John had said and who had followed Jesus. Notice this. The first thing Andrew did was to find his brother, Simon. So Andrew, you know Andrew's one. His one is his brother. All right? He knew his brother. He knew his brother was, you know, a very hard person. What's strong-willed man, you know? And so he knew that his brother needed saving. And so the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." You see? What do you do when you found Jesus Christ, when you know that you are born again, you are saved, your sins are forgiven? What's the first thing you want to do? You want the person that you care for experience the same thing, right? But it's so sad that a lot of us are not doing it. It's so sad that we enjoy salvation. We enjoy the promise of everlasting life. When we die, we no longer go to hell, but we go to heaven. Sad that we are not excited to share that to our loved ones, to our friends, right? But Andrew, the first thing Andrew did was to find his brother, all right? Just like these four men, when they've heard that Jesus was there, when they've heard, now again, we don't know also if these people were from Capernaum. They might come from different place. So when they've heard that Jesus was there, the first thing they did was went to this paralyzed and says, "You know what, bro? Jesus is here. We will bring you there." And perhaps the paralyzed man, siguro, ingon nga, "You know what? Ay na lang siguro. You know, it's, I don't want to hustle you, bro. You know? I don't want to give you the discomfort. Lisod kayo, paralyzed, bugat ko, you know?" But the four men probably, no, we insist, you know? Jesus is here. You know, we don't have this opportunity. We might carry you there. See? Friends, that's important. That's what you call care. How do you show that you care a person? You bring that person to Jesus. Because we know that the most wonderful thing we can offer to a person is not money, it's not food, it's salvation. Amen? What that person can experience eternally. That's total care. So that's what Andrew did. Find his brother. And notice this, and he brought him to Jesus. He brought him to Jesus. Brethren, that's what these four people did. They took this paralyzed man from his house, brought him to Jesus. Imagine the discomfort, the inconvenience. All right? We don't know if they had a carriage to bring the man, or perhaps they could not afford one. They just have to walk for miles. All right? Imagine, you know, the difficulty of bringing a paralyzed man. And I mean, those of us, you know, who have paralyzed people in our homes, do you know the difficulty of bringing someone? See? Even someone who is incapable of walking, so hard to come to our church. That's why we provided them with an elevator, you see? And the point here is that there is real love. There is real care. If we really care for our one, then we would bring them to Christ no matter what the cost. All right? Friends, use your common interest. Use whatever you have. For these four people, they simply use their strength. All right? Perhaps nanghuam pa ni sila og bed. All right? But they use what they had, their strength, to bring this paralyzed man to Jesus. Friends, if you love to play golf, then play golf with your one. If you love coffee, drinking coffee, then drink coffee. Offer coffee to your one. If you love to watch movies, then treat your one with a movie. In other words, do whatever it takes to show that you care. Okay? Now, I told you some ways, you know, some of our members do. They invite their friends and they say, "You know what? Manimbata unya, I'll treat lunch after the worship." That's what it takes to bring someone to Christ, to spend money. All right? For these four people, they spend their energies, again, in order to bring this friend to Jesus. Now, I want you to ponder on this. I want you to reflect. What would it take for you to bring a brother, a sister, a worker to Christ? You know? Now, sometimes it's so easy to bring someone who is under us. Like, for example, your employees, your house help. Now, sayon ra kay sa pagpaanhi, no? Kay, kung di mo tuman ni mo, aw, pangita na laglaing amo. You can use. Now, question, have you used your influence? See, we are not using even our influence. See? Some of us are owners of companies and when we tell our employees, musimba mo diya, magkarag-karag ginagsimba kay ang bonus sa December. See? And even in that, you can even use that as an incentive, friends. Mika sakto na, Pastor, I tell you, whatever it is, as long as you bring that person to Christ, sakto yun na. See? Even if giving them bonuses on December, ala katong musimba, nato'y special bonus, ay manimba na sa tananoy. May na sa pastaw, kanang sir, asang address sa inyong simbahan mo, add to me. Diba? Now, if that will take them to come to church and listen to the word, why not? Amen? I mean, these four friends brought a paralyzed man to Christ. See? What will it take for you to bring your one to Christ? You see? Sayangan ka sa kwarta, sayangan ka sa effort. I tell you, if that friend of yours, if that relative of yours, if that husband of yours or wife of yours will be saved, I tell you, remember our story 3 Sundays ago, there will be much rejoicing in heaven. Amen? And can you imagine if the heavens rejoice because you brought someone to Christ? See? Bring that person to Christ. So we must bring our friends to Jesus. Bring your one to Jesus, no matter what it costs. All right? Now let's go to the second point. We must bear our part of the load. We must bear our part of the load. Now, I read somewhere that the word friend among the native North American Indians, all right, means one who carries my sorrows on his back. Imagine that for the Indians, the American Indians. The meaning for a friend, for them a friend, is someone who carries my sorrows on his back. So if an Indian calls you a friend, that's the meaning. It means that he sees you as someone who is willing to carry his load on your back. And that is exactly what these friends did, right? Notice again, verse 18, some men came carrying a paralyzed man on a mat. Literally, they were carrying him. And literally, that's the meaning of the word friend. Someone who carries the load with you. Now, brethren, the paralyzed man was lost. He was helpless. He could not walk. He could not reach Jesus. He could not go to Jesus. He could not hear Jesus unless there were people who were willing to carry him. And here we find that these four men carried the load. Each of them had to bear their corner of the bed in order for this man to reach Jesus Christ. Friends, sometimes it takes two or more people to bring one to Christ. And here's a classic example. For this paralyzed man to reach Jesus and to be healed by Jesus, to be forgiven by Jesus, it took four men, four friends to work together, to cooperate, so that this one man can be with Jesus. Brethren, praise God when you have Christian friends who always invites you. Amen? How many of us, like, I just want to know, how many of us are here attending worship today because you had friends who really made kulit. Raise your hand. You know, who always kulits you. Praise God for you, Gloria, for having... Kinsa ra si Gloria ra? How many of us here have friends nga magsigsulti? Now you go with us. You know, you eat with us. You know? Praise God for friends who are like that. See? Friends who always brings us to Bible study, even if we are not interested. We're only interested with the snacks served. You know? But along the way, as we persist in coming, you know, soon the Holy Spirit opens our ears and our hearts. Amen? That at first, the goal is just to eat. That's all. The goal is just to please your friend. Kay nauwaw na ka, kay sige pang-invite. But eventually, it is now God that you want to please. See, that's what happened here in this story. All right? They were genuine in their love and commitment that they were carrying, literally carrying the load. All right? Four of them. Kung tulura, lisod kaayo, kinanlang yung upat because there are four sides of a bed to carry the man. And it takes four men to carry this paralyzed man to Jesus Christ. Brethren, bringing our one to Jesus might not just be a one-man show. Perhaps you need the help of others. You need to collaborate with another Christian. You know, namoy common Christian friend. Unya, magsabot mo. Diba? Atong inviton, unya, mangaon ta after. Alright? Unya, magtunga lang ta sa bayad. O, diba? See? You bear the load together. Diba? Kayo mo nga, kung maluwas ni, pareha matag glory sa heaven. Amen? Diba? So, something like that. Sabot-sabot ba? And perhaps that is what happened in the story. Nagsabot ning upat. You know, they were talking, you know what? It's important that our good friend here must hear Christ. Jesus is the only solution to his problem. Jesus is the only Savior. And if we don't help this friend, he could never experience forgiveness. And praise God for this four people. Friends, it's something like that in our church. See? To bring our one to the church, all right, involves a lot of people. One, praying for that friend. Perhaps there are some of us here who are really gifted in praying. I know one who's really so gifted in prayer. You ask that person to pray. And then there's another member in our church who is so smiling, so welcoming. Like this person, moragwa gini siya problema. See? Always smiling. And then you ask that person, inig abot sa kong friend, ikaw gimu welcome, ha? Also, i-welcome na po na. Unya, from there, another usher will bring that friend to be seated where, you know, there's the best seat in the place. And so on and so forth. Everyone comes. And so this friend of yours that you invite finds it, wow, ninduta sa inyong church. Uy, murag feeling ko celebrity. Wag di ko naka-feel in other places. But when I come to your church, everyone smiles, everyone offers, everyone, you know, you kiss, you hug each other. And so this one finds that everyone was helping, right? And the goal is for that one to know Jesus Christ. Amen? That one to experience salvation. According to Galatians 6:2, the Bible says, carry each other's what? Burdens. And what do you do if you obey this command? What do you do? What have you accomplished when you carry each other's burdens? In this way, you will what? Fulfill the law of Christ. Amen? You fulfill the law of Christ when we start to carry each other's burdens. In fact, if you remember in one of Jesus' teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus says, if somebody asks you to carry for a mile, go the extra mile. You see? For us Christians, you know, you can go the extra mile in carrying the load of others. And that is what we find in these four young or men in the story. A person got saved, a person got healed because four men were willing to carry the burden of one. Now, we find this also, you know, in the life of the church. You know, according to Paul, 1 Corinthians 3, 5, and 6, Paul says, what after all is Apollos? What is Paul? Only what? Servants through whom you came to believe. See, he's talking to the Corinthians. In other words, he says, you know what, you Corinthians, you believe in the Lord, all right? But there was Apollos, God used him. There was me. But we worked together. For what purpose? So that you will believe as the Lord has assigned to each his task. You see that? Each of us, brethren, we need to bear the load. We need to carry the load. We all have our assigned task. One might be inviting, the other one might be praying, the other one might be sharing, but all for one common cause. And what is that? To bring them to our Lord Jesus Christ. That's why Paul says, I planted the seed, Apollos watered it, but God has been making it grow. Amen? All right. So we must bear our part of the load. All right? That's the dynamics. See? When we bring our one, we need the help of others. All right? So bear our part of the load. Now we come to the number three. All right? The third lesson is this. We must break through the barriers. All right? We must break through the barriers. Now, why is this important, brethren? Because, listen, as you and I, as Christians, as we want to bring an unbelieving friend, unbelieving relative to Christ, our goal is to bring them to Christ. But you need to understand that it's a spiritual warfare. Amen? Are you understanding? That there is a spiritual world that is contrary to your purpose and my purpose. That there is a satanic force that is not willing for that one to come to Christ. You have to understand that. All right? It's not as easy as inviting this person, giving him a good bait, and then coming to Christ. No, it's not that easy. The devil hates it when people come to Christ. The devil hates it when one soul who is bound for hell will be saved. He hates that. And so he also makes all efforts to bring back that person, you know, to hell, to drag that person to hell. So there will be barriers. The devil can also cause somewhat, some resistance. All right? That is why, you notice, when you try to invite a friend to a Bible study, nindot na kayo yung sabot, di ba? Nindot na kayo, magkita na mo, asa mo nagkita, kasuway ka, ni? Nagsabot na mo, asa nga place, unya pag-abot dito, suddenly, nagsakit man akong tiyan, besh. Tuara. Ningawas ng mga sakit. Oh. Lindot kayo, healthy kayo, pero Domingo gani, masakit. Huwag mong kabantay, anak. Nga kung every day, lami kayang health, hala, suri-suri, pero pagka-Domingo, maglabad ang u. O, lihok na ni Satanas. See? You know, the devil will always find resistance, you know, barriers. Remember? Because the devil hates it when the word of God falls on the hearts of these people. That's why he provides mga blockages. Remember the devil, according to the parable of the sower, he's the bird. You know? As soon as the seed falls on the ground, this bird comes quickly and snatches the seed so that it will not grow. That's the work of the devil. So when we pray for our one, we must consider that that is a fact. That the devil will also find way. So, inigpray ni mo pag invite si mong one, i-appeal na og pray, Lord, mainta, way labad sa ulo, way labad sa tiyan. Oh. Kay manggawas na ba na dayon? Ay, namang gui birthday, o nay mag-birthday, o niya nay namatay. Daghan kay nang manggawas. Basta inviton na sa Bible. Pero inviton ka na sa mga inom-inom, ay, way sakit sa tiyan, wala yun, way labad sa ulo. Diba? So we find that when we want to bring our one to Christ, we must break through the barriers. Now, again, go back to the story. Look at verse 19. When they could not find a way, notice what the Bible says. They could not find a way. Why? Because there were blockages because of the crowd. See? They really want. So, there was no way for them to get in because there was just so many people and they were carrying someone on a mat. So, what did they do? Notice what happened. They went up to the roof. All right? Pag ato na po nila sa roof, of course, unsan naman po ilaing barrier sa roof? Ang atop. See? So, I want you to see the barriers. How could they bring this paralyzed man? The fact that he was paralyzed, he could not go there, so they have to carry him. All right? So they carried him, so that's already good. But then when they arrived there, the place was just full packed with people. So it's another blockage, the crowd. But they have to pass through the crowd. They went up. But then when they were there on top, there's another blockage between the paralyzed man and Jesus. There's a what? A tile. See? There's a roofing. And so what they did, oh, giguba yun nila. All right? So I don't know if they counted the cost. I don't know kung si Peter ning react. Ningon si Peter, oh, unsa man na. Oy, wabi ako'y budget para sa akong atop. Fisherman rabi ako. All right? But they literally opened, notice this, lowered him on his mat through the tiles into the middle of the crowd right in front of Jesus. So what they did was so radical. All right? Why did they do such a radical thing? Well, I'm just trying to think, no? They were practical people. Ilang unaw na, gialsa na nila diri niya, kung mubalik sila, mag-alsa pa ni murag mas kapoy, magyud ni. Mauli na po may pila kakulometro, unya mag-alsa na po, murag mas dali ning gubon. It's better to destroy this barrier than to go back bringing this man paralyzed. See? So the only thing that keeps the man and Jesus is this roofing. And what they did? Smashed it. Remove it. Alright? They removed it. And so they lowered the man. And so what do we find here, brethren? The man, of course, in the story, the man was found by Jesus Christ. Okay? So the mission was accomplished. The mission was simply to bring this paralyzed man to Jesus. And there were so many barriers in between. But because of their determination, that's what we need, brethren, the commitment. Are you so determined to bring your one to Christ? See? Because I'm sure some of you may nga, Pastor, invite naman ako, Pastor, niya sige ra magbalibad. Di ba? Have you stopped inviting someone simply because that person made two or three no's already? No? Daghan kayong mga excuses. Alright? But they were determined. Again, I want you to focus on the commitment of this man. I mean, can you imagine if these four men brought their friend, niya pag-abot dito, niya ingon sila, ay bro, sorry kay daghag tao, uli lang ta. Wala. Laho sila. See? Ay, lisod kay ni bro, kay di magyuta kasod, pero no. They prevailed, they persisted. They really went up to the roof. See? Now, we were not told, no? Sa atong drawing ganina, doon na ito'y hagdanan. Usually, they have that, but we do not know exactly. What if what ito'y hagdanan? So, can you imagine the hardship they went through? So, I want you to see the point. The point is this. They went through a lot. They persisted. They broke barriers for one purpose. This man be seen by our Lord Jesus Christ. According to Charles Spurgeon, they need be strong for the burden is heavy. They need be resolute for the work will try their faith. They need be prayerful for otherwise they labor in vain. They must be believing or they will be utterly useless. Brethren, the day there speaks of you and me. We have to be strong because the burden is heavy. We have to be resolute because the work will try our faith. We have to be prayerful, otherwise our labor will be in vain. The point here, brethren, is this. Don't give up on your one. All right? Can you imagine if your one, because you gave up, because three times your one declined your invitation, and so you gave up. And let's just make the long story short, in hell, judgment day, you're there going to heaven, and your friend that you invited three times, mayunday ka niya, may round, sa imo nang sa. Diba? No, muana siya. Beshi, why did you give up on me easily? Diba? Diba? Isn't it a different story when both of you going to heaven, and when you're going to heaven, this friend of yours is telling others, you know what, why I'm going to heaven? Because this friend of mine was so kulit, she never gave up on me. I gave so many barriers, I gave so many reasons, but she never gave up. That's why I'm going to heaven. Friends, that could be the story of your one. Amen? Never give up on your husband. Never give up on your children who are not yet believers. Never give up on your best friends when you know that you have the answer to their salvation. Never give up. See? Always be persistent. Now, what happened here? When Jesus saw their faith, take note, their faith. What caught the attention of Christ? Not the paralyzed. What caught the attention of Christ was the faith of these four men. See? The healing of this man was only the result of what? Because Jesus saw the persistence, the determination, the commitment. When Jesus saw their faith, he said, friend, take note. Take note the plural and the singular. When Jesus saw there, that's plural, and then he says, friend, your sin is forgiven. So meaning to say, brethren, that paralyzed man was forgiven because Jesus saw the faith of these four. I want you to see how important your faith and my faith for the salvation of our one. See? The direct connection. When God sees that we are always persistent in our prayers. Remember our lesson this week? Pray fervently. See? Don't just pray, Lord, may tama save na siya. Kung di siya, mayra, iyan ang problema. Kagahi siya, oo. No? We are not like that. We are persistent. Okay, somebody asked me, Pastor, until when should I stop praying? Simple answer, when that person is in a casket, stop praying. See? Because our prayers will not work when the person is dead. See? You don't pray for dead people to go to heaven. There's no prayer can bring them back. So our prayers only work when they are still alive. So never say that that person is useless, that person is hopeless. No person is hopeless when we are determined to bring them to Christ. See? We have to be persistent. See, do you still have friends? Do you still have relatives? You know, I know in our church, a lot of us, you know, only the husband is a Christian or the wife is a Christian. I know that. We have so many cases like that. But we also have so many stories that if you notice, for many years, ang musimba, ang wife raw niya, suddenly, nagkuyog naman lang duha. Well, that's the result of prayer. Amen? And the Kanama couple here, I'm so proud to say that's their story. So blessed. Many years ago, only Ate Faith would come to worship. And so, ang uban, mayon na nga, ay, balo siguro na siya, no? Diba? Or maupon ng story ni Celso, ni Brother Celso sa Catholic Church, balo siguro na siya, kaya wa may one. But, you know, God orchestrated everything that one day, Brother Celso showed up. And since that day, he's always with us. Amen? That's a story of God orchestrating things in your life because there is a prayer for your salvation. See? Their story can be your story, brethren. Let Jesus see our faith. Amen? According to David Kuzik, there is something lacking in faith if it can never be seen. There is something lacking. Jesus wants to see that faith of yours. Jesus wants to see my faith. How will Jesus see that faith? In our determination. See? How did Jesus see the faith of the four men? Well, Jesus saw their determination. They have to bring him up. They have to bring him down. See? That's faith. Faith without works is dead. We have to work to show our faith. And as a result, brethren, here's the amazing thing in this story. Your sins are forgiven. See? That man wasn't only healed. You see, I tell you, if he can walk, if the only thing that Jesus did to that man is heal the paralysis, let me tell you, what benefit would there be if this man can walk and walk himself to hell? Remember the Bible says, it's better for a man to be in heaven blind than having two eyes in hell. What's the benefit if this man can walk and he's walking, going to heaven, hell? But praise God, two things happen. He can walk and he's walking towards heaven. Amen? Because he got saved. And the Bible says immediately he stood up in front of them, took what he had been lying on, and went home, take note, praising God. This man came probably scared, probably afraid, you know, having the discomfort, and now he is going home. Praising God. He got healed. He got saved. Why? Because of the care of four men. All right. Question is, who will bring them to Jesus? Who will bring this paralyzed? Friends, in this story, the paralysis is simply an illustration of an inner condition of man. Any person who is not yet saved is paralyzed spiritually. You know the power of sin. It paralyzes you. You have no more control, you know? It's the sin controlling you. See, that's paralysis. And who else can heal spiritual paralysis? Only Jesus. Who will bring them to Jesus? Because they're already paralyzed. They can, you know, you cannot expect that one day they will just have this good idea, I'll go to church. No. Their sin, you know, stops them from going to church. Their sin stops them from opening their Bible. Somebody has to tell them. Somebody has to bring them. Who will bring them to Jesus? You're the one. Ignay mong tupad. You're the one. All right? I'm the one. We're the one. See? Who else? Okay? If it is your friend, if it's your best friend, who else will bring them to the right way going to heaven? It's you, only you. There's only you. Tell this to yourself. There's only me. If I will not do this, I cannot afford one day my friend will die and will go to hell. I know how to go to heaven. I have to be the one. All right? So assignment for this week. As we care. Number one, continue to pray for your one. Okay, continue to pray. All right? If you don't sense any movement of the Spirit yet, then continue to pray. You see? If the person keeps on declining, saying no, unya suddenly nahimo siyang Indian, ng Indian, waning tunga, continue to pray. Second, plan out ways to care for your one. You plan. All right? Cook a dinner, right? You plan out ways to care. How can I care? So in order for you to care, you need to know his needs, right? In order for them to carry, they know that he's a paralyzed man. So you have to plan out. That's why you have to ask, you know, unsa may problem nimo? Kwarta mare. Agoy naglisod ka pagtubag. Okay? Pareha tag need, pareha ta magampo. Okay, plan out ways to care for your one. And then three, prepare to demonstrate your care. Prepare. If you need to prepare the mat, prepare the mat. If you need to prepare the table, prepare the table. If you need to prepare your transpo, prepare the transpo. Whatever it is that you will be using, prepare to care. All right? Now, before I close, I'll give you time now to write your one. Okay? Write your one in your piece of card, your name, and later on, what we will do after the service, as we will be going out, there's that board there, pray, care, share. That's where you put your pace, you know. So the ushers will provide you the scotch tape or whatever in order to post the name. Now, what will we do with this, Pastor? We will follow through the journey, okay? So once you pray, now, what happens is that, Mika, next week, oy, Pastor, nakakaon nami together. Nakahelp ko sa iyang needs. So what you will do is that card from the prayer nga side, adto na nimo na ibalhin sa care. Human ako, Pastor, naka-care. So we expect some cards will be moved to the care portion. And the goal again is to go to the share. So on and so forth. Our goal is that all our cards will be in the bring. Amen? Amen? That's our goal, brethren. But for now, we pray and then we care. Because that's the way God wants us to do, to love Him, to love His people. Let's pray. Father, we thank you, Lord, for this message. Help us, Lord, to apply. Help us to bring our one to Jesus Christ. Help us, Lord, to bear the load. We know because bringing someone to Jesus Christ entails burdens, entails load. Help us to bear that load. And most importantly, Lord, help us to break through barriers. We know that the devil will provide blockages so that our one will not come to you. But Lord, give us the determination, give us the commitment that we need so that we can truly bring our one to you. And what a joy in heaven when all our ones will come to Jesus Christ for salvation. So Lord, our prayer right now is for our one. We pray that you would start to work in their hearts. Lord, orchestrate the circumstances in their lives so that when we invite them to church, we invite them to a Bible study, we invite them for a meal, their schedules will be open. And most importantly, Lord, we pray that their hearts are ready, prepared by the Spirit for the gospel. And our goal here, Lord, is the goal of Christ, to seek and to save the lost. In Jesus' name, amen.